You might like to open your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 4. As we've been looking at Jeremiah, you're looking at that condition, situation, where Israel has 100 years earlier gone into captivity by Assyria. 100 years later, when you're reading Jeremiah chapter 4, approximately, when you're reading that, Nebuchadnezzar is on his way to bring into captivity, ultimately, Judah and Jerusalem. And Israel is given, by way of Jeremiah, the good news that they could return to the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart, may not be in their home, but they could move their heart back to God if they would seek him with all their heart. And that's Israel, all over the place, scattered, Babylonian, the Medes, etc. And in the process, the people of Judah have not learned a thing, and they are encouraged. They are being encouraged to take advantage while they still can before Nebuchadnezzar comes. And thus they are admonished to return. And you remember that in chapter 4, verse 1. And if thou wilt return, O Israel, and they could return, they could get their heart right with God, but they didn't do that. They could have, but they didn't do it. And a remnant of them would turn to God, but the nation as a whole would not turn to God. And God is dealing with the nation, being gracious to the remnant, the handful of believers like Jeremiah. And in the process now of that, we share together that God said to return. And I'll read it just to pick up the context again. If thou will return, verse 1, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. That's personal. Remember now, Israel has forfeited, broken their relationship with God. They have replaced God with persons, places, things, idolatry of something or someone in place of God. Therefore, in the relationship, Israel, looking to whatever it is can only be to you what it is. A dentist will be a dentist. A bumblebee will be a bumblebee. Whatever it is to you, looking to it. And as they look to anything and everything except God, there is no God. And they're trying to be a person and find themselves and locate themselves, and they're trying to have a relationship to something, somehow, in some way, to make their life satisfactory and to work. And of course it doesn't. And thus, nothing, no one replaces God. So in the process now, God is admonishing them to come back to a relationship with God. And the relationship with God, remember the word relationship. It allows one God for the believer to have and realize God will be God, the only God, the only Savior, help and hope to that heart. And that heart to God will be looking, and God will cherish that believer as a believer who honors and glorifies his name among many things. So the believer, God embraces the believer. The believer embraces God. Relationship. And without God, you don't have it. You got some other thing in some other way, then it won't work. So now, with that in mind, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away Put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove. Be going up and down, up in and out, wavering. And thou shalt swear, you take and understand with all your heart, that you aren't going to swear by all your idols and systems. You're going to make it very public, clear, that you personally choose God. God, the only God, the living and only God. And in truth, and you're going to do so in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And when you do that, all the nations about you are going to realize that you are doing what you were supposed to do to reflect and to represent God. And when you do that, Israel, all the nations will look at you and they'll see God. And they'll honor him. Verse 3. Now, in order to have that, we share together, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem. We're going two tribes in the south, Benjamin included. Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. So you want to break up that, you have a unique opportunity to exercise your relationship to God. It needs to be plowed, furrowed, broken up to be able to plant. And you don't want to plant in ground that is not prepared, because then thorns, weeds, thistles, everything grows wildly and abundantly, and the plant that you're looking for doesn't survive. Now, and then, we did that little bit. Then, in verse 4, circumcise yourself to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn, that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doing. So I'm giving you great opportunity to repent. And here is, again, you need to plow and sow. And then he says it again in a different way in verse 4, circumcise yourself. And that's a command. You do it. You let yourself be circumcised, to be circumcised. And thus, circumcise yourself unto or to the Lord, in the direction of the Lord. You want to make it so that between you and God, there's nothing. You don't want, we sing it sometime, nothing between my soul and the Savior. You want to have a clear relationship to God, skin upon skin, together. Nothing in between, straightway. Moses, face to face. God talked to Moses face to face. Nothing between. So, God, how are we going to get that? Well, circumcise yourself and take away the foreskin. Remove the foreskin. That foreskin, the skin that is taken off in circumcision. God, remove it. And so what are you talking about, God? Well, let's go and we'll take a look and find out. Uncleanness, and foreskin has to do with the removal of that which makes for cleanness and devoutness, to being devout. It has to do with, in Bible, has to do with dedication and purification, two words. And thus, so they were to circumcise. And you would remember that in Genesis 17 that Israel was marked, a people, by circumcision. Now, there are other people that circumcision, but their particular mark, to mark them, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, was circumcision. Now, circumcision, they had that, and that was to mark them as mark them as belonging to the nation of Israel. Now, what is the difference between that and what others did, might have done? In the light of circumcision, in the light of what they were to do, over, if you would, to get this in with some measure of understanding, remember now, circumcision is the removal, externally of the skin. taking away a portion of the skin, taking it away. And it would be outwardly, physically done. Now, having said that, now, what is the problem? They needed to be circumcised. Well, they probably were circumcised, but there is a problem. There's a problem. They aren't circumcised. They are, but they aren't. They aren't. God, I thought you said circumcision was a sign to give the relationship. It is. And it marks a relationship. Now, and Israel has broken that relationship. Israel is hiding under a cloak, under a blanket. It is surrounding itself with externalism. And they have ritual, they have all kinds of activity, they have ceremony, they have words, they have their God on the one hand to appease God of Israel, the Jehovah God, Yahweh God, and then they try to appease all the other gods. So they have a great mixture, and they're trying to serve all of them and make everyone happy and hope that one way or another Israel will be happy. So they have an external cloak that they've put over them to cover them. That has to come off. That has to come off. Face to face. They've covered themselves now. And thus, just like sin, Isaiah 59, that sin has come between you, a great cloud. Why can't I see God? Because of sin, because of unbelief, it causes a great cloud, so you can't see God. You can't get to God. Now, here, over if you would to get it, in Exodus, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. And remember, giving a outline of all of the problems, all of the conditions in these last days, one of which is noted, verse 5. Having a form, an outward form, likeness, an outward form of godliness, but denying the power, the dynamic, more than the denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now they have an outward veneer, nothing inside, no inner reality, an outward dress, but nothing on the inside. That's characteristic of our day. We're people are covering themselves with something to give themselves, to not expose themselves to the conditions and the character of their own heart, of the world system, and that which exposes themselves to God's holy righteousness. And they're missing all that. They have a covering. And now, having said that, a form of it, but no reality. Now, over, if you would, to Romans. Romans in chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, picking up, please, Israel had an outward veneer. They had a form. They were very worky. They did their form. They did it. But they didn't have any inner reality. They were circumcised, but it didn't do them any good. Now, we'll read it and you'll see it. Verse 23. That thou makest thy boast of the law, though through breaking the law dishonorest thou God. For the name of God, verse 24, is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. You might as well not be circumcised. You might as well not be baptized. It didn't mean anything. It has no inner reality. You went through the outward form and no reality to it. What's the point of it? You might as well be uncircumcised. Verse 26. Therefore, if a Gentile who isn't circumcised, isn't a Jew, can keep the righteousness of the law, and they could honor the law with their heart just as much as anyone could. And if they could do that, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision, he isn't circumcised, be calculated for circumcision? Isn't it better that he isn't circumcised, but his heart is right, and his heart is right with me, so he is in essence circumcised, and he's for real. You circumcised in the skin, but not in the heart, I'm for real. Keeping, if I may, in verse 27. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter, the law, you're going to keep the law, everything you say God will do, and circumcision doth transgress the law. You break the very law you said you would do. Verse 28. Now, conclusion, what's the point? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. If you're just only external, you got nothing. 28, 29. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and of the spirit, and not of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. It's a heart problem, and you've made it a fleshly surface thing. If we do thus and thus, then that should fulfill all the requirements and make God happy. And that, of course, doesn't work that way at all. So now, and remember now, God is going to go, or if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, and picking up directly, if I may, in the light of the context, verse 25. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. I am going to judge Israel circumcised. By the uncircumcised, the Babylonians. I'm going to judge them. They said, we're all right. God said, no, you're not. Your heart isn't right. Jeremiah 4:4, circumcise yourself. Circumcise yourself. Do it. But why do I need to do it? Because your heart isn't right. Watch. Go with me, please, now, in the light of that. And remember now, looking, God, to deal with the heart, over, if you would please, to Deuteronomy chapter 10. All kinds of ways to do this. We'll do it a way. Deuteronomy chapter 10. You need to have the heart. And the heart ought to show the body, your physical being, what you do, ought to show the heart, and the heart ought to show God. That's the same as we said with baptism. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward relationship. And if you don't have an inward relationship, all the baptisms in the world wouldn't do any good whatsoever. What good's it? Take communion for the next 100 years, people do. It doesn't do any good if your heart isn't right. You've got to have a heart. And you're looking for the heart. I don't feel that way. Then you don't have a heart. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Chapter 10. Deuteronomy and chapter 10. And allow me to pick up, please, in thought, in chapter 10 and in verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Why? For thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God. The earth also, and all that therein is, everything belongs to God. Only the Lord hath delight, only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them. And he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Therefore, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked, no more. Do you understand what God has done for you? Now fix your heart. You know it. I'm going to turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And you know it. I just want you to make a connection with it. Verse 29. 5 and 29 at the giving of the Ten Commandments. Oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. If they just had a heart. They just didn't have a heart. They got everything else, but no heart. No heart. And what do you need to do? Circumcise your skin. You already did that. That isn't what makes a relationship. It's a heart problem. And you got to circumcise your heart. Hang on. Well, how am I going to do that? Over, if you would please, to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Chapter 30. And in chapter 30, please, going to verse 1. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee. And thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. Now, wherever you go. Verse 2. And thou shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt keep his voice, and thou shalt obey his voice, according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Now, sliding up to verse 5. And the Lord thy God will bring thee, when you do that, into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, as they did. He will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. He'll even do more than he did for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, and the heart of thy seed. What for? What on earth for? To love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart, with all of thy soul, that thou mayest live. God, I don't know, and actually, you know, literal circumcision, literal, usually that is done by someone else. Person is circumcised by somebody. Now here we are looking. And here's Israel, and they need to have a circumcised heart. And they look at each other. Who's going to do it? God's going to do it. God's going to do the cutting. God is. Now, if you let him, but if you don't let him, you don't, nothing happens. Now, over, please. In chapter, and verse 7, while we're still here. Verse 6 and 7. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart. I'll read verse 6 again. The heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and upon them that hate thee, which persecute you. I'm going to turn the whole thing upside down. You honor me, I'll honor you. I'll take care of your enemies. I'll take care of them. I'll take care of the problems. Now, over if you would, the heart needs to get right. The heart does. Now, an illustration of that, over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 6, illustrating that. In Exodus chapter 6, and remember, Moses is going to go, given an assignment to go be the deliverer of Israel, the spokesman of God before Pharaoh, and he's going to go there. Now, verse 12, Exodus 6:12. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying what? Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened to me. In other words, I tried to get them, and they gave me a hard time. I tried to tell them that God sent me, and what I'm telling you is message from God, but they're giving me a hard time. And remember, the Israelites didn't want to leave Egypt, for generally speaking, they didn't want to leave Egypt. They had to leave because God sent 10 plagues, and the Egyptians kicked them out of there. And in a sense, now, over in chapter 6, in verse 13, and the Lord spake unto Moses, unto Aaron, verse 12. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me? Who am of uncircumcised lips, since I am not prepared? My lips are not circumcised. They're not ready. They're not prepared. They're not ready to give the message from you. They're uncircumcised. And Israel, the people don't listen. And how on earth is Pharaoh going to listen? God, you're going to have to circumcise my lips. And remember now, because Moses, and remember, you know all these things, that Moses was trained to be, as it were, he could have been a Pharaoh. Trained. Wow. As a Pharaoh's son. Wow. Now, he had to be military, science. There was nothing he wasn't good at. He'd been trained. But hey, God sent him out in the wilderness for 40 years to get rid of Egypt in a good way and to get him to trust God instead of Egypt. Now, chapter 4, and if I may, chapter 4 and verse 10. And Moses, 4 and 10 of Exodus, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I really am a lousy speaker. I don't have what it takes. I don't mind handling a few sheep out here in the backside of the desert like David will, but I don't mind that. But God, I'm slow of speech, slow of tongue. God, you know I don't have it. And thus, you in verse, back to Exodus 6, I'm uncircumcised. I'm not able to go and speak for you. I can do it, but God, there's an ingredient here besides just speaking. And you know that anyway. Unction, you will, or whatever words you want. There has to be that. Otherwise, it's just words. Just a lot of words. Verse chapter 6, if I may, in verse 30. Again, I'll read verse 29 and 30. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken to me? How on earth is this going to happen? Wow. God, you know my lips. God, you have to do something with them. And God, of course, did. Now, over if you would please, and remember now, it wasn't Aaron that went up to the top of the mountain at Sinai. It was Moses. It wasn't Aaron that gave the word when he came down. It was Moses. Moses is the one. He was the one. God gave him that. And Moses said, no, Aaron speaks better than I do. And God said, Aaron will be as your mouth. But God, having said that to Moses, God used Moses in a wonderful way. Moses was eloquent. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, it isn't Aaron up on top of there with Elijah. It's who? It's Moses up on top. Moses. Now, God, here we are. And now, here's the lips. Over, if you would, please, to Jeremiah and chapter 6. Jeremiah and chapter 6. And God is going to say to Israel, to Judah, etc. Jeremiah 6, may I go to verse 10 directly. To whom shall I speak and give warning? And remember, Jeremiah 4:4, if you don't circumcise and you don't cut that foreskin, my fury is going to come down, and my fury will be expressed in the movement of Nebuchadnezzar on top of you. I suggest you fix something. Circumcise yourself. Now, here's chapter 6 and verse 10 in that same setting. To whom shall I speak and give warning? Why? That they may hear. Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. It got a covering over it. It isn't able to hear. It got a blockage. You can't hear. Circumcise your ears so you can hear. Verse 10. Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. And if you have that attitude, guess how much the Bible's going to get to you? Zilch. And you can sit there for 100 years, and you aren't going to get a thing to move your heart. And if it doesn't move your heart, what have you got? A little bit of head knowledge. You can't retain it. You can't put it together. Not without the heart. Now, so verse 11. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad, and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is of full days. It's going to be terrible judgment if you don't do something, because you're going in the wrong direction. Now, over, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 11. God, you said you are the one you're the doctor. You're the surgeon. You're the one that cuts. You're the one that cuts. That's right. And you're either going to let me do it or you don't. And if you don't, God, we love you, but don't touch me. You're a wonderful Savior. Watch. You're a wonderful Savior, but don't save me. I'm so glad you died on the cross. Thank you for loving me. But don't go past that. Don't get too close. Don't get too close, God. A lot of people like that. Lots of people. There's no heart. And nothing happens. You can go to church for the next 1,000 years. You can go to 10 churches. You can go to 20 churches. You can go to the 2,000 plus religions. It won't do you any good. Not a bit of good. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 17. God, can you do it? Absolutely. Are you going to do it? Yes, I am. Verse 17, chapter 11, Ezekiel. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. There won't be any more idolatry. And I will give them one heart. I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart, covering, hard, not soft, not pliable. Take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. 20, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. They got to let me want to do that. And it's going to take the great tribulation, which will make it happen. They're going to yield. It's going to take a... Why couldn't they yield in 3.5 years? No, it's going to take all 7 years before they wake up. Now, in the light of that, over, please. Oh, to Ezekiel 36. Again, Ezekiel chapter 36. And in verse 9. Remember, we read it last week. For behold, I am for you, I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled. There's your till, to plow the ground, and sown. I'm not only going to turn the soil and make it ready, I'm going to sow the seed into the ground to plant it. Now, having said that, that's what God's going to do. So now we go to verse 24. And I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness, from all your idols, will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I'm going to do it. But you don't want it done yet. No, don't want it done now. So the captivity will take place, and there's still nothing. That's where they are today. Wow. Now, over, if you would, to Philippians. Oh, before you do Philippians, what a good thought. Colossians. Colossians. And you'll note in Colossians, going directly, we said it last week, we'll pick it up just a bit. Lord, what have you done for us? God would die on the cross. How can you go and give Israel a new heart? How can you take away their stony, hard heart from them? Because I have made it possible by the forgiveness of sin. I have taken all of their sin on Calvary's cross. I have borne all their sin. So when they turn to me and understand that, I am going to go and then finish the job. I'm going to finish the wonderful work that I meant to have happen, that I would give them a new heart. Now, Colossians 2 for us now here. Picking up, please, Colossians 2 and verse 11. In whom also you are circumcised. Now, how are we circumcised? With the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Christ went to the cross and he paid the price for all your sin. For every lousy word, thought, and deed, he took it to the cross and made it so that he could say, if you will just exercise and allow me, like Israel, allow me to circumcise your heart. Allow me, by way of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross, to take away your sin, to make you clean, so that we're face to face. Nothing between. Now, verse 11 again, I'll read it. In whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, identification, wherein also you are risen with him, if you die with him, buried, and thus you're risen again. Through the faith in the operation, something God does, who hath raised him from the dead, and made it all real, possible, and practical. The wonderful resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ that makes it all work. Now, having said that, over to Philippians chapter 3. God, you do that. That's right. I do it. And you will note Philippians and in chapter 3. Paul is saying why he has such a unique relationship to God. He's in prison, a Roman prison. He's writing to the Philippians, among others. And as he writes, he reminds them of the wonderful, wonderful position he has. And he, verse chapter 3, verse 1, finding my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, how can you do that? You're in prison. Who knows how things are going to go, whatever. Skipping down, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. They're going to try to get you to do thus and thus and thus and thus in order to honor God. You want a God by faith and recognize he died on the cross for you. What are you going to do to help him? Nothing. All you can do is thank God he did it and believe. That's all you can do. That's all God asks you to do. All the rest of it's what we plug in to do. Chapter 3, verse 3. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, none whatsoever. I am not confident, no persuasion. I'm not counting on it. Why not? Because God has taken and put it on the cross. Why should I trust that which Christ had to die for? My old nature and your old nature went to the cross. Now, what do you want to trust your old nature for? Paul would say, I'm circumcised. Christ took me to the cross. He took my flesh. He made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. He did all of this for me. Now, what am I doing going the other direction? Though, verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, and then he gives you his credentials, a Jew of Jew, a Hebrews of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees. You aren't going to find anybody graduated summa cum laude and everything else. My, what is it he didn't do? He had everything. He had wealth, riches. He was a Roman citizen, a Jew, a Roman citizen, member of the Sanhedrin. He had everything. And he knows, and you know the wonderful statement he says about that in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord. You mean none of that is important? No, I had to have a circumcised heart. All of that gave me a cloak, a covering. I could point to it. I graduated from so-and-so. I know this person. I did that. I did this. And I can point to them. That's a cloak, a covering. That's what Israel was doing in Jeremiah. They were having a covering, and they had to get rid of it. Thus, in a chapter, and you know it. Now, in the end of verse 8, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And all of it is of no value. It is waste. It is absolute waste. You say, but you graduated from MIT. Well, good for you. But that doesn't help you with God. MIT doesn't make you right with God. Being a nice person doesn't make you right with God. God makes you right in Christ with himself. Now, and you remember, remember, if you would, Martin Luther's testimony. I see nothing, I believe nothing, I hear nothing, I trust nothing, I rest on nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ himself, unquote. No one, nothing except him. He is my rightness. And thus, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. You have our word, confident. I have no confidence. I'm going to not trust my circumcision. It has to be of Christ, not anything we did in the flesh. I'm a Jew. I've already been circumcised. That didn't do me any good until I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So here in Philippians chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 6, you know, being confident of this very thing, confident, absolutely sure, fully persuaded, I am confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul said, listen, in all of it, everything, the trouble, the trial, the test, it's all there, but I'm going to the finish line. And I want you to know that nothing, no one, anything, anywhere, any way, etc., anyhow, can stop God from finishing what he started. No one, anywhere, anyhow, in any way, can stop God from what he started. Ever. Isn't that great? Do you know, the plowing, the furrow, wow. Hold the plow, dear master. Walk right through my heart. Make the furrows as thou wilt, and plow through every part. Only make my heart a field, harvest hundredfold to yield. Furrows, 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 made in days of pain, furrows full of anguish, seeming not to aught to gain, furrows to prepare the seed, all for others' souls to feed. Plow on through deep sorrows, furrows for thy grain. Leave no ground unturned, Lord, but then send latter rain. Sow thy seed that it may die in my heart to multiply. Make my life, dear master, just a field for thee, where thou mayest always gather grain from me. Bring some soul by sin oppressed through these furrows to be blessed. God, do a work in my heart that other people might be blessed. Do a work in my heart. And that's what it's all about. You can't. If you just have unless you're circumcised, circumcision is to make it so the inside, the reality of Christ within, shows itself without. Perhaps you have a particular prayer request you'd like to take as we go to prayer. Remember the Bible line.